Okay. Well, thank you, Lord, for this fine group of people we got tonight. Lord, I just ask for your anointing tonight for everybody, that we'd get some more talk on the curse of unforgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful book that you've given David, and one that we can look at and go back to every now and then, because it sure looks like we need to do that occasionally. And Father, we thank you for all that's going to come out tonight. Thank you for your cleansing power, Lord. As we know, when we confess our sins one to another, healing's going to occur, deliverances will occur. And Lord, we just praise you for all of that. We thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. We ask and we pray, Father, that you set a watch before our lips to not speak ill of anyone, and to confess the good confessions to everybody. And Father, we just ask and we pray for your continual guidance and leading in this walk that you've got us on, this highway of holiness. That's what I like to call it, since David brought it out in a book, in a study. And I just praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for all that's going to happen tonight. We thank you, Father, for answering all our prayers, too. And we thank you, Lord, for having some changes over there where Joe Brady is, to where they'd have a stable government, one that is benevolent. And Father, we thank you for doing that for all the people, all the Christians, all your chosen there in South Africa. We also thank you for that for Australia and Canada and these United States too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for draining the swamp all over this globe. And Father, we just praise you that your warrior angels are sitting right in front of us, waiting on us to give them directions as to what to do. And we just praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the dreams and visions and words of knowledge that you give us, that direct us and lead us and guide us and show us what you want to do. And we ask that you continue that on, Lord, in a little more minute way, Lord. I know it's so good now that we know what we got to pray for. We got to pray for the protection of our government, and root out all the evilness that's there. And Lord, we thank you that you're also fixing to cleanse this church too. You're fixing to cleanse it of all the apostate religion. And Lord, we know there's a lot of your people in those churches. We ask that you protect them and bring them out of those things and bring them into the truth of the gospel, Lord. And we praise you and glorify you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Dave. Hey, George. All right. Yes, Missy, go ahead.
This didn't come to me on Tuesday, but did you all hear about that turnpike crash outside of Pittsburgh that happened? I forget what day that was. Early Sunday morning, I think it was. It was a tour bus. It was going from New York to, I think it was going to Cincinnati or something. Anyway, it hit the cement divider between the two sides of the highway, and then went over and hit embankment, and it rolled, and then three other tractor trailers crashed because of it, and a car got involved, and there were five people killed and 60 injured.
Oh, gracious. And,
yeah. And the thing of it is they had a huge stretch of the turnpike closed on both sides from trying to clean this up. And if we would have gone back Sunday like we normally do, we would have had to go go a different way. But we didn't go back Sunday because of going to the funeral the next day. The Lord just totally worked that out, you know, going to the funeral on Monday. And because we would have been on the road twice the amount of time that we needed to if the Lord didn't work it that way. So, but anyway, so I just want to pray for all that are involved in this, especially those of God's elect. The bus driver was killed. There were two UPS guys that were together in the truck that were killed. There were two passengers in the bus that were killed. And who was the other one? I forget who the other one was. The bus driver, the two passengers, and yeah, the bus drivers I missed. Two passengers in the bus beside the bus driver and two UPS guys. So anyway, Father, I just want to lift up this situation to you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you just use this to bring about salvation, Lord, to those who are your elect, and even those, Lord, that don't even know you. Use this to draw them to you, and just turn your elect's heart to you to seek after you more and seek you for comfort, and I just ask you to comfort them, Lord, and those that passed away, Lord, use this to draw their families to you, Lord. That you would grant them repentance and belief in you, Lord. Use this in a mighty way, Lord. And I ask for any that were injured in this accident, Lord, that especially that are your elect, Lord, that you would bring healing to them quickly, Lord. And just help them to figure out what happened, why the bus driver, what happened, whether he fell asleep or whatever, Lord. And I just ask you to bring a resolution to this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. It was like 3:30 in the morning that it happened.
What was it? Was the roads foggy or something?
Well, no, I mean, it was, I don't know if it was snowing at the time. They were going through, I think it was a mountainous area. It was mile 86 marker. And I know it had been snowing, but from the pictures, it didn't look like the roads were icy or, I mean, they had been treating the roads and all. So it wasn't like major snow or anything. It was just like lake effect snows. But yeah. But anyway.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, for comforting those people. In Jesus' name. Okay. Hey, Denny. Hi, Debbie. All right. Anyone else? Got a testimony, a praise report, or a prayer request?
I knew Michael.
Yeah, I see.
Michael?
Yeah, I see you, Judy. Okay. Go ahead, girl.
Okay, well, no, I was in Indiana, and I'm back in Tennessee, and I had a real good visit, but what I wanted to speak about was when on my flight home, it was really neat, because in Indiana, I sat by a lady that her mother was going to be operated on for her heart. So I well, let's pray for your mother and you. And so I prayed for her and we talked a little bit and then I gave her a Sovereign God book. And then when I went to Charlotte, they're supposed to have wheelchairs for people because it's a long ways to go to the other where the plane is. Well, there was three of us ladies sitting there and the other two ladies couldn't walk very far at all. And so they end up missing their flight because they didn't have the wheelchairs. But we prayed that 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 there would be the wheelchairs come, but they didn't come. And I felt really bad for them and prayed again that everything would go okay. But then I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and walk, which the Lord gave me strength to walk because it was a good walk, especially carrying your luggage and all that stuff. But then on what was really so neat, then when I started to leave these three ladies, the one lady grabbed me and says, I want to pray for you that you get to the safely to your plane. So I thought that was really cool. I looked for that prayer. I just thought that was really awesome. And then as I was walking, I walked to where I was supposed to meet the plane. Then there was another long walk because the plane was clear over, I don't know where it was at, but it wasn't just right off the thing. So they said, well, there's another long walk. So, well, they were going to get me a wheelchair, but I didn't really need it, but I'd take it. Anyhow, so it was a long walk. But then halfway there, some young girl, I call her my angel, came and said, could I carry or pull your luggage for you? And I said, well, okay. So I let her. And I just thought that was so cool because all those things happened within a couple hours. I just thought, oh, thank you, Lord. That was so neat.
I'm your Google assistant. I'm here to help, to learn a few things.
What? Okay, I agree. So anyhow, it just was a good trip back. So thank you, Lord, for a safe trip back. And thank you for all the things that you're doing and all the people that I gave books to in Indiana. And thank you for everything that you're doing for all of us. In Jesus' name, thank you. I'm done.
Amen. All right, I see. Thank you, Lord, for meeting wonderful people all over the place. All right, anyone else? All right. Yeah, Missy, I see. I just did, but go ahead.
Well, if nobody else has any prayer requests, I never did share Tuesday about the funeral. It was one of the better funerals that I was I've been to. And one thing that really touched me was Jeremy, Herb and Shirley's son, Herbie's the one that passed away. We had gone and gotten him at the airport and took him there so he could see his dad before he passed away, but ended up he lived for a few days yet. But on the funeral, Jeremy was sharing about his certain scriptures that his dad had marked that he read, you know, pretty much every day. And he read those scriptures some things that he shared about things that his dad taught him. You know, he taught him to play ball. He taught him how to change oil. And he says, anybody that knows me, it knows I don't really care about changing oil or whatever, but his dad taught him to change oil. He said he taught him to respect people, how to treat people with respect. And I'm trying to remember what all it was he said that he taught him, but the thing that really stood out to me, I mean, when he was sharing this, I was just like, the tears rolling down my face, but it was just really good. And his one sister shared a scripture too. She really had a hard time keeping it together. And Jeremy did pretty good. I was kind of surprised. But anyway, one thing that he said that his dad taught him was, he said, my dad taught me to be a dad. And that just really touched me. And that was just awesome. So
that's the number one thing right there, teaching the child how to be a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is that it? Okay. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead. I see you. I had to get back to my milk here.
Lord, I just like to pray for our community again. We had a a young man. He actually had moved one town over from us, but he was born and raised here, and a lot of his family lives here. He's 28. He was coming home from work in the early hours yesterday morning and went over an embankment, and he was killed. And the
wife and kids.
Yeah, he's got a wife and a little girl. And a lot of, like I say, I know at least one of his brothers lives here. Grandmother lives here. Aunt and uncle, bunch of cousins live here. I got to pray for his aunt yesterday at the food bank. She was just so distraught. I did ask her if Travis was a believer, and she said yes. But she's also one that doesn't really, she'd probably tell you she's a believer too, but she's never really heard the real gospel. But anyway, Barry and I are just kind of amazed, you know, in this little town of only about 400, 450 people, we've just never seen so much death from accidents, suicide, murder, suspicious circumstances, and then just illness. And so we've been, you know, we pray, and we have been praying, and we believe that the Lord's bringing revival here. And so, Lord, we lift up the situation to you with Travis. And Father, I just want to thank you for his life. And he was well loved. And he was a young man that really kind of seemed to be on track with his life. And you know that this is just hit people really, really hard. But Lord, I know that in the midst of the grief, in the midst of the judgments, the inhabitants learn righteousness. And Lord, I pray that that Travis is with you. And I pray, Lord, that you will use this situation to draw his family, his friends to you. Lord, that you will pour your Holy Spirit out to comfort them, but also, Lord, to enlighten the eyes of their understanding to see that our lives are just such a vapor. And also, Lord, to draw them to Jesus, to help them to see that they really need to be right with you, that you are our Savior, you are our Redeemer. Lord, I just pray that an outpouring of mercy here. And Lord, also strength. These people, and they're people that I know, are so devastated. And Lord, we just thank you for bringing revival. That you're pouring out a spirit even today, your spirit of repentance and faith here, and you're getting all these little black sheep lined up to come through that the blood of Jesus, and they're going to come out white on the other side. And Lord, it's like you told me years ago, everybody was a black sheep before they come to you through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, that's what we've been praying for. We've been praying and believing this for a long time. And Lord, I just thank you for pouring your spirit out and bringing revival here. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Barry and Marilyn for a revival of repentance in that small community there, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, glory, hallelujah, Lord. Send somebody over there with an evangelistic gifting, Lord. And I ask and I pray you do that in the name of Jesus. Ever how you want to do it would be great. In Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, let's do, Marilyn. Barry, let's break the curse on that town. in the name of Jesus right now, I break this curse of death and travesty upon this small town in Jesus' name. I bind up the principality that has control over it right now and cast you off of it. And I thank you, Father, right now. And I'm asking you, Father, to send someone. Or you just started wherever, Lord, in one of those churches there, or wherever, in Walmart if you want to. But I'm asking revival start there now in Jesus' name. The revival of repentance for that town. And I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do something. And revival start right there in that little small town that's had a whole lot of death and destruction, it sounds like. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Hey, Tim. You know, I want to tell you a little story. Some of you know it. Some of you know parts of it. And I'm not telling you this to get any sympathy from you. I'm just telling you what's going on. I've had a set of twins, grandsons growing up that were just a joy of my life. And they got into a lot of bad stuff. Got into dope, drugs, garbage, that kind of stuff. And it took the life of one of them. He had an overdose up in Pennsylvania a couple of years ago, almost 2 years now. But I've got another grandson, y'all heard me pray for him, Blake, that he's gone back down that road again. And I've prayed and I've put Blake on the altar. He has died numerous times, and the Lord has brought him back. And I've lost count. His last time it was about three times that he had died, and the Lord brought him back. And I believe it's because of our prayers. Well, I know it is. And he checked himself into a rehab the other day. And this particular rehab, which I like the concept, they want them to go through their detox without any drugs to let them feel it. And so they'll remember what it felt like coming off those drugs. And I don't know how long it takes to get off of that stuff. I had a doctor tell me one time that it takes somewhere around 3 weeks to completely get shed of all the problems associated with it. But both those boys had gone through detox before, and they'd go through it with the help of the doctors giving them dope to come off of the dope. And then that would be a crutch to them because they thought that they needed that dope in order to keep off the bad stuff. One of the names, and I'm saying this so everybody out there will understand what goes on. One of the names of those drugs that they use to keep them off of a drug is Suboxone. And it's an opioid. And Blake, when he came out of this last rehab, he was completely free of it. Completely free. He didn't have to use anything. But as time rocked on, and for whatever reason, he got on Suboxone again, went up and got a prescription from a so-called doctor, and where he was taking a pill a day. Well, it got up to where he was taking Suboxone $300 a month or more to so he'd keep off the heroin. But what it led to, when he got back on the whatever it was he was doing, heroin, cocaine, whatever it was. And now he's back in this rehab, or in a rehab that won't allow them to come off using drugs. But he talked one of his family members into taking him to the doctor after 3 days, 4 days, because he was hurting so bad. And, of course, the doctors put him on whatever it is that they put him on, Suboxone, I suppose. And I just want y'all to believe with me, okay? Lord, you know I've given Blake to you. I've laid him on the altar. I don't want to lose another grandson. I don't want to lose him. I'm just asking. I'm asking that you keep this boy. You showed me many years ago he was going to be a preacher. But I know it's up to him. And Lord, I'm asking you to fulfill what you told me years ago, that you bring him out from under all of this stuff. And I believe you are. I believe you are. I know sometimes we have to go through a lot of things. I'm not trying to get him out from under your care, but I'm just asking you, Father, to show us some kind of light here. Give us some kind of light with Blake. Show us that you do, that you are working in him in a mighty way. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Father, I trust you implicitly to fulfill what you showed me so many years ago when that boy was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, whatever, Lord, I ask that you grant him salvation. Grant him repentance, Lord, and bring him back in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, all right. Yeah, he came in a couple of times, Tracy. It's been a few years back. So, all right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Judy.
Yes, I'd like to pray for you and your family. Lord, I'd like to lift Michael and his whole family up. I know that they're going through some hard times, and Lord, I want you to give them strength, because they are, you know, they just want this so bad for Blake. So give them strength, give them more faith to believe that you're going to take care of this. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that for the whole family, the whole Hare family. Thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony? Okay. Well, where will we stop off? It shouldn't be too hard to figure out where we stopped off. I don't think we got but just a few pages through there on the curse of unforgiveness. Lord, bless this Bible study tonight. Let it be a blessing for everybody. Let it be a game changer, so to speak, for people. I know last week we had a lot of confessions, and Lord, I just ask that we continue on here. All right. Anybody, I think we was on 12, number 12, wasn't we? Oh, I know y'all gotten into this book since then, hadn't you? Since Tuesday night. I think we're on
Michael, I think you said 16 when we left off.
Oh, did I? 16? Okay. Okay.
Hey, Mike, you got 1 second before you get started? Could I share
yes,
something?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Albert. Go ahead, brother.
My Wi-Fi is out, so I don't have my camera on right now, so I hope you hear me okay.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so around the time Blake was coming out of it before, and if you remember, I shared about my nephew, Chad, was going through the same thing. And they found him under a bridge up in Pennsylvania. And basically he had passed out and somehow laid across his legs in a really weird position, had cut the circulation off those legs. And they had to give him they had to shoot him to keep him alive, whatever they shoot him with, one of them things they carry. He was on heroin, and he went in the hospital, and they had cut a lot of the muscle and stuff off his legs and stuff, trying to save his legs. And one of the legs was doing okay, but one of them was, it looked like they were going to have to take the leg off. And, you know, we were praying against that and everything and believing. I tried talking to him a couple times during that time, and he was just very angry towards me and stuff. So it was hard for me. So we just kept praying and believing. Well, the day they were making this decision, they believed they were going to have to take his leg off. A woman walked in the room, and it was hospital room, and was sent there. She said she was sent there by the Lord to pray for him for healing. And so she laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he got the report. The doctors came back in the room and told him that, amazingly, that it looked like his tissue was coming back to life, and that he was going to be able to keep his leg. And not too long after that, it was really a quick time. He was out of the hospital, and he went to Florida and was in a halfway house. But kind of fast forward a little bit. This a few years ago. I remember when Blake, you know, had come out of it, and we were kind of going through the same things that you were going through back then. He is on fire for the Lord. And this is a couple years, he's really been growing. Last time I talked to him, he is just a walking, talking Bible. Like only a few people I know just have the word so powerfully in them that it just comes pouring out of them, the word of God. So, you know, we'll continue to have faith for Blake, and we know his calling. Because I remember when Chad was a young man, I always felt like the Lord just had a calling on his life, and we used to pray for that. My brother fell into prescription drugs. He was a professional, and he got hooked on painkillers, and it took him down to the bottom. And he's following the Lord now too, but it had a really profound effect on his son, and he ended up being hooked on heroin and going in and out of rehabs for a few years. So just to encourage you, Chad is doing really good, really good. And he is really on fire for God. And he wants to go in the missionary field. He's been talking about it for a while now. And just waiting. I tell him to wait till the Lord send you. Don't go out without being sent by the Lord. Just make sure you're ready. So anyway, I just want to encourage you with that.
Thank you, Albert. That helps a lot, man. It does. It really does. Thank you so much. All right. Anybody else?
Okay.
Michael?
Yes.
Remember I was talking about my family?
Yeah.
And I'd like to give a little encouragement to I came from a family of 8 children, and I guess I'll just to make a long story short. I have two sisters that are saved, but the rest of them I wasn't clear. And the other week I was, you know, they went through, they text me and said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year and all this stuff. And we multi-text. And so normally I was not able to bring the gospel to them without any response from them. They didn't come against me. They just didn't respond back, or, oh, that's what you believe, or something like that. Well, this last time I was on the Lord brought them to really open up. As we got to talk about our parents and they really responded when I was talking about how our mom and dad had got saved, both of them at different times. And they really responded back, and it got to the point where we ended up praying. We were praying for that there wouldn't be any war going on. We were like in Iran, because one of our brothers is over in that area. And so we were concerned about him. And then we prayed, I talked to him about how I was dealing with rejection, how the Lord's been helping me. And they piped up and said, yeah, we've been battling that too. And I told them it's a generational curse. And we prayed about that. So it was like, I had never been able to do that with them before. So that was a blessing, big blessing for me. So be encouraged, whoever needs it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Okay, Judy reminded me something.
yeah, go right over ahead.
A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to my, well, I wasn't talking to my daughter, but I normally, when I talk to my daughter, I'll just text her. And I've been kind of waiting on the Lord for her, because she every time I would get on a phone with her in the past, it was like I talk about a little bit about the Lord. She's been a believer, but she was backslid. But I would talk about the Lord with her, and then something I would say just get her riled. And so I just didn't want to go there. I didn't want to get on the phone and talk with her. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, sometime during the day, I felt like the Lord says, call her. So I called her on the phone, talked with her. She says, Mom, you don't know how long I've been wanting to hear you, your voice. Cause we just text a little bit. And we got to talking and stuff. And she thought I was having a picnic down here. And I said, no, this is a boot camp. And so we got to talking about that. And I told her about me dealing with rejection and how the Lord is helping me and stuff like that. And we just was talking for 2.5 hours about the Lord. And in between that talk, you know, talking about the Lord, we were ended up praying too, but talking about the Lord, I don't know what I said to her, but she started breaking out in tears, and they were not bad. You know, it's not like she was down and out, but it was, I think the Lord broke through in her. He did something in her, because I felt like it was a good thing for her to cry. Whatever I said, still, whatever the Lord used me on, it broke through, and I was happy for that. So, but we had a really, really blessed talk. So that was something else. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really nice when things like that break through, isn't it? It's awesome. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, Tracy, go ahead.
Hey, Michael. I got my book, The Curse of Unforgiveness. Where are we at?
Well, that's a good question. Somebody says it was 16.
Page 16?
Well, I think so.
Okay. Are you guys going by the physical book or a PDF?
I'm going by the physical book.
Okay. Just want to know. Thank you,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. I do want to go over something, though, that I saw back on page. I try not to go backwards, but I don't think we did. We talk about confession. Did we talk about that?
A little bit.
Okay.
Are we going to read the book, or are we just going to talk about different parts of it?
What I ask everybody to do, and I know that sometimes we can, sometimes we can't, is to go ahead and study the first chapter and just kind of look and see what you remember about it, and then we discuss it during the broadcast. But we can do it either way. You know, when you read it, that's one thing. Nobody seems to want to read it after, you know, you do that. So I'm asking everybody to just read it beforehand. That way we can discuss these things, because we already know what the chapter entails. But we can do it either way. I don't care. I'm just here to facilitate, so to speak. But there's some things in here that really need to be read, you know. And one of them, I'm over on page 11. And I'm going to start up there where it says, only God judges those who are without. If we judge them, then God will judge us, Matthew 7:1-2. Because we really are nothing without him. He has given us the grace to be something better. If he gives them the grace, then they will be better. So it really makes no sense, no spiritual sense whatsoever, to be angry with the lost, confused, and frustrated world. Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Now, I don't know if y'all remember, but in some of those studies that David said, he said that should be a question mark after sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing. David says, now all of these are rooted in unforgiveness. You can't have them without unforgiveness. And of course, if you have unforgiveness, you don't have God's forgiveness. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. In Matthew 18:23-35, Jesus gives a parable of the master forgiving his servant. But then his servant went out and wouldn't forgive his fellow servants a much smaller debt. And when the master learned of this, that's the Lord, he called the unforgiven servant back and put him in prison until the debt was paid. Then Jesus said in 18:35 in Matthew, so shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if ye forgive not every one of his brother from your hearts. And God will do that. He will turn you over to the tormentors until you have paid what's due. Many people are going through torments, sicknesses, demonic bondages, all kinds of curses, or other kinds of frustrations, just like the writer is speaking about here. In Deuteronomy 28, there's page after page of the curse listed, all because of certain sins. And the Lord sends this as a chastening in order that we will repent. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. the Lord chastens us so that we won't be partakers of the curse with the world. Hebrews 12 and 14. Here it is. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. And contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't matter that you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter that you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're not holy, if you refuse the holiness of God, you will never see the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And here, he is definitely talking about these things, about bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, which we are to put away from us, and to not let the sun go down on our wrath, it says in Ephesians 4 and 26. So we are to follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. 15, looking carefully, lest there be any man that falls short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble ye, and thereby the many be defiled. I'm going to stop right there. Does anybody got any comments on that? It's pretty plain, isn't it? The scriptures are pretty plain. You cannot, we talked about this a little bit Tuesday night, or a lot actually, you cannot have unforgiveness in your heart, which is anger, bitterness, all of those things, that railing, all those things toward anybody, and expect God to forgive you. It doesn't make any difference if you believe once saved, always saved. The word of God is what we go by. We don't go by what man says. We go by what the word of God says. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, you're not going to make it. You're just not. I mean, that's one of the first tenets of Christianity is forgiveness. And a lot of people look over it and gloss over it and say, well, maybe that's not me. A lot of people don't even understand what unforgiveness is. If you get angry over somebody, that's unforgiveness. If you got bitterness in your heart towards somebody, if you get mad at somebody because of what they said, you've got unforgiveness. And that's what God's trying to get out of us. He wants us to repent from that. And repent means to change. It doesn't mean to just tell God you're sorry and go on and do it again. That's not what he wants. He wants a change in your life. He wants you to turn away from that garbage and to have that peace in your heart for everybody. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add or ask a question about or whatever? Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking about visualizing the people in our lives, whether it's people that get under our skin or people that aren't saved or whatever. It's always with unsaved loved ones. I've always tried to picture what would they be like as a saved person if they're gung-ho, proud, redneck, won't bend the knee to Jesus now, but what kind of person would they be if they were just as determined with the truth? And I think I'm seeing that also with the people that the Lord puts in our path to try to make us more like Jesus. Is, you know, we need to pray for those people and try to visualize them as having the joy of the Lord and being a blessing in our lives, and opening communication so misunderstandings and assumptions don't rule our minds, and the enemy gets to play games with our thoughts. And, you know, I guess that's just what I'm seeing now, you know, to clear the deck on all these issues and the depths of my heart. If I don't have love for somebody, then I should lean towards that direction and go straight to the solution and be instrumental in changing both of us. So I'm trying to give my imagination to God to see people in my life that are giving me trouble as saved and a blessing, and me having a wonderful relationship with them and mutual benefits of just turning what the enemy means to destroy us into something good. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I believe that. That'd be good. Just look at them as somebody that's already saved. All right, anyone else?
Okay, we do it. Michael, this is okay. This is unique.
I was
sorting out some papers in my room, and I came across these papers about a dream that Eve had 2008, and it's just what George was saying: seeing others through faith. That's that whole section is. There's a dream that Eve has. It's really good. And it talks about seeing others as the Lord, you know, the Lord sees us at the end, not in the beginning. You know, he sees us already saved. He sees us already delivered. We have to see that in ourselves and in others. I've been starting to read this, but anyway, that's, if anybody's interested, it was 6/13/2008. That was really good. A dream.
Amen. I believe it. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
You know, that whole thing about, you know, confessing your sins that you brought up there. When I, back in 2012, I got on the, I started getting on the outreach beginning of that year. And I was taken through some deliverance, and what the Lord showed me is, you know, I had inherited quick-temperedness, and just easily getting offended or just snapping, you know, which is unforgiveness. And the Lord showed me that. You know, every time I did that, that I needed to apologize, you know, for snapping or getting testy or however you want to put it. And, and that really helps you overcome, that humbles you. It helps you overcome that easily getting offended or just quick, you know, easily snapping at someone. And I remember saying to my husband back then, I must be the sorriest person that ever walked this earth, because every time I turned around, I was saying, I'm sorry. And, you know, and sometimes I still have to say, I'm sorry, you know. I a little edge on my response, you know, or something, you know. And, you know, a little irritation or whatever, and. You know, so, but, you know, I think, you know, when, you know, when you, oh my gosh, I went through from middle of 2012 to the beginning of, of February, end of January of 2017, for about 4.5 years, the Lord really dealt with me about unforgiveness. And a major part of that time was when I was there in Tennessee for like 1 year and 9 months. Oh my gosh. I got arthritis like middle of 2012, and it hit me in my knee. It would hit me in my knees. It would hit me in my ankles. It would hit me in my wrist, on my elbow. I remember one time it hit me in my, in my hip, but and even in my hand. And anybody that was there in Tennessee at the time would see, you know, how I would limp around, or my hand would be absolutely swelled up. And each time that hit me, I started getting this pain, feeling like, you know, arthritis acting up. I was like, oh Lord, what did I say? What did I do? You know, where's this criticism, unforgiveness, whatever coming from? I mean, the Lord just really dealt with me. And by the time the last bout of it was end of January, beginning of February 2017, the Lord healed me then. I haven't had a bout of it then. But the Lord dealt with me in a different way. He was very merciful to heal me. But he wasn't done with me yet, teaching me about forgiveness. And so what he did then, about almost exactly 1 year later, now that I think about it, he took me through something for 3 months, and it was the worst 3 months of my life. I can honestly say it was probably, I can't imagine. You know, it's kind of easy to say sometimes this was the worst thing, because when you're going through it, after I thought about it, I thought that was the worst 3 months of my life. But I went through what I went through because I still hadn't learned forgiveness. The Lord says, okay, now I'm going to humble you. I'm going to show you what's in you now. And rather than pointing the finger at someone else's sins, I'm going to show you what's in you now. And he humbled me some more and taught me more about forgiveness. And it's really it's like, Lord, please don't let me keep forgiveness. Let me recognize it right away. You know, just that little irritation or that little snap or whatever, help me to repent quickly. Because I do not want to hold on forgiveness. The Lord's taught me a lot about it. And and it's all because the Lord loves me. And anytime anybody goes through anything, the Lord's discipline, please know that it's because he loves you. But I wasn't planning on sharing all that, but that must have been the Lord. The Lord's so good. He's so good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, something really bad happened at work today, and I've been repenting all day about, you know, some animosity I had toward, they got this discussion about politics at work. And of course, you know, I did my 2 cents there, and I started judging some people again. I caught it at work, and then I I came home and you know, you feel like such a failure. So you confess it and you just feel so ashamed that this happened. And the Lord knows that I'm against this. And I poured out my heart to the Lord today in prayer. And I just want to overcome this. That the next time it happens, there has been times where it almost starts and then it just goes away. I caught it, but I didn't catch it today. And I confess to the Lord about it, and it's just something that Missy said there, that he's working out his love for me that I need to attain. And praise God for that.
Amen. The important thing is that we learn from those types of failures that we have, you know. Even after Tuesday, you know, we talked about unsaved people, things like that. I caught myself again doing the same thing, you know. Somebody I don't even know, you know, politician or whatever. We've got to be very careful. We have to ask the Lord to set a wash before our lips. Cleanse these old minds, Lord, of all of that old garbage. I don't know if any of you know what a cotton gin looks like and how it combs that cotton. When it comes down on it, it combs the cotton, gets the seeds out of it, but it combs the cotton. And that's what I could visualize here a while back of the Lord doing to our brains. It's taking it and combing our brains, getting all that old nasty stuff out of it. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Anybody else? I want to continue on, but I want to continue on a different page. Down at the bottom, the very bottom of 13, it says, but the devil has a job to do. Very last sentence, very last few words. But the devil has a job to do, and his job is to administer the curse on those who are out from under the blood of Jesus because of their disobedience. When the devil administers the curse, if you have good sense, you go running back to Jesus and confess your sins and repent, and God delivers you. And if we don't do that, we can go through so many things for years and years while we wonder, why isn't God answering me? Well, the point is, why aren't you answering him? And so that's what happens to us a lot right there, is we don't understand that we've been the ones at fault, not God. Let me just go through this a little bit. I think some people need this also. This next paragraph, I was talking about the lady that had her sins, you know, and she says she confessed her sins and had us pray for her. The very next day she dreamed that the Lord Jesus came into her house. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I always tell people, look, I want to pray for you, but I would like to have faith that God's going to answer me. And I know that if you will confess your sin, God will cleanse you. Hang on just a second, y'all. I got to get this.
You know, and Michael was talking, and Andrew also, I was thinking about how easy it is to, you know, think that we don't have to forgive, you know, people we don't know, people we see on the news or on internet or, you know, read stories about, because we don't really have a one-on-one relationship with them. But, you know, as we go through this, I think it's really important that we do, you know, we have to forgive and not hold the blame, even the politicians that we think are super corrupt, even though we even have to encounter, but we still can't hold that against them. We have to, you know, treat them like somebody that lives right next door to us. And it's hard to do because there's such disconnect there. You know, on one hand, we have the right to judge them. Just all the rotten things. Just, you know, I said that for myself, that I am guilty of, you know, holding a grudge against people I don't even know because of things I've heard about them. And I repent of that now. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was a call from someone that I hadn't seen in 40 years. So that's the reason I took it. I still had his number for whatever reason. And I'll call him. I told him I had to call him after the broadcast. But anyway, I think he wants deliverance. I'm just going to believe that. Praise God. Okay. Where was I? 1 John 1:9. Okay. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, I want to pray for you, but I would like to have faith that God's going to answer me. And I went through all of that. God will cleanse you and forgive you of your unrighteousness, so therefore my prayers will be answered. But as we read earlier from James, sometimes people don't confess their sins. Then they receive prayer, but they don't receive healing because they won't confess their sins. Well, it's the same for any provision we need. God is our provider. If we believe the Bible, he provides everything we need, but this is blocked many times because of some bitterness, some anger, some clamor, or some wrathful speaking, and so forth, all of which is rooted in unforgiveness. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, that's true. We, in fact, we had a situation today where the Lord told David, we had to quit praying for a lady because she had a couple of people that she hasn't made right with them, that she had wronged them in the past. And it really, listen, here's something that's needful to everybody. It doesn't make any difference if you're in the wrong or they're in the wrong. It's up to you as the Christian to make it right. In other words, you apologize to them whether it's your fault or not. And your conscience will be clean. And you will have opened up a way for them to be clean as well. Now, whether they take that road or not is not your problem. So, all right, well, bless you, brother. Wish you'd stay longer. All right, but anyway, and that's something that a lot of people don't understand. Why do I have to go to them and say that I'm sorry for something that I didn't do, so that they won't fall, so that you can open up a road for them to come in to peace with you, you know. But either way, you have to do it. That's what God wants. And once you do that, your conscience is clear. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I like to comment on what you just said, Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
I had a situation with someone who has rejection. And they got offended with me about something. And I didn't do anything wrong, but what they took what I did as rejection, and that I didn't basically, I just leave it at that, just rejection. And they were so angry at me about something so little. And so the Lord said to me, apologize, you know? So I apologized. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't intend blah, 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 whatever, you know, that wasn't my intention, whatever. I said, I'm sorry. I forget what all I said, but I apologized. And that was like a switch. I mean, it was like a light switch. That person went from being so angry to it just shut those demons up real fast. That spirit of rejection. It just, I had never seen such a change so quick like that. So it's true.
Absolutely. I've done the same thing, Missy. And it's just, it's an avenue for them to get free too. Praise God.
Well, yeah, and it's a humbling thing, you know?
Yes, it is.
Like, you shouldn't say, you know, you shouldn't have that, because really, if you can't apologize to them and you have this attitude, well, why should I apologize? I didn't do anything wrong. Think about it. If you have an attitude about, then you have unforgiveness towards them for being upset with you.
Yeah. Amen.
So if you just humble yourself and apologize, that just clears the air and binds up those spirits.
Yeah, and the way to do that, like Missy was talking about, the way to do that is, I just want to tell you how sorry I am that I made you mad. Was not my intent, but I understand that I said some wrong things and I want to apologize for it. Rather than say, well, if I offended you, I want to apologize to you, because that's not humbling yourself. If you just go ahead and just accept whatever it is, you know, like Missy was talking about, I made you angry at me, and I apologize for that. And I ask you to forgive me for doing that. And it'll be a humbling experience to them, and maybe they'll see the wrong that they did also. Most of the time, if they've got any heart at all in them, they'll do it. Okay, Joe, I saw you had your hand raised. Yeah. Yes, sir. Joe D. Yep.
No, I would agree with that, both of you guys. Because back when I was really suffering, you know, I think all the just kind of God finally was wanting to deal with all those years of, you know, sweeping the pain and the suffering, or just, you know, the hurts from my past under the carpet. And, you know, I saw the bitterness and the anger and all that stuff manifest. You know, you're right there, Missy. And I mean, you, Michael, if you say that, you know, legitimately, tell somebody. And I remember my mom used to do that to me at times. And there might have been, I mean, you know, other people, but I think it's specifically with my mom, you know, the one I think where, you know, everything started. I had trouble. I mean, I don't know if she ever saw that I was sorry, or no, that it really touched me. I mean, because it did, but it's like, I didn't want to break down and start crying because, like, you know, I was suffering, you know, and so I would try to keep it in the best I could, you know, so I'm like, I mean, I don't know if she saw, but yeah, like, it just disarmed all this anger and even wrath, you know, I mean, that was, you know, that's even stronger than anger. I had a lot of that, you know, and I think that's, I mean, you know, just because of the unforgiveness, of course, but I remember it just would, like, all of a sudden melt away, and I would just start to feel like, you know, almost break down in tears, like, yeah, I've been so rotten here, you know, I need to say sorry myself or something like that, but I couldn't because I didn't want to break down and start crying, you know, I mean, I didn't want to be vulnerable, so I just kept it inside. But I would agree, you know, I mean, regardless, you know, of how the person feels, it's easy to I mean, you know, when you do humble yourself and you show, yeah, that other person's, I mean, because I had this happen in my last job, you know, a gentleman who, I don't know, for the few who probably remember, there was a coworker by the name of Dave, and he's, you know, he was really tormented. I mean, he was, a recovering alcoholic and just homeless at one point of his life. And he used to, God was using him to, you know, start the crucifixion process for me. And he used to come against me all the time. And it wasn't personally against me, but I mean, I was the one who would receive all the complaining and all that stuff, but he was pretty harsh. You know, at times, I mean, coming against me and very, very aggressive. So I remember just flat out telling him one time, hey man, you know, I mean, I'm sorry for whatever I did, you know, or even there was things that I did do, you know, and I saw he was just kind of like taken back by, you know, it's like, he couldn't think straight. He was kind of, you know, I mean, uneasy about it. And it's, yeah, that's kind of the same way. It just disarms the person and they don't know what to do because they're expecting you to kind of come right back at them, you know, retaliate or seek revenge. But when you don't, you say you're sorry, they're just like stop dead in their tracks. Like, I don't know what to do here. You know, I don't want to show any weakness or vulnerability, but yeah, it just disarms the person. So I wanted to say that.
Amen. You're exactly right. David says on page 15, he says, I like to pray for people who have humbled themselves because God promises to give grace to those who will humble themselves. You humble yourself, confess your sins, God sees that, and he's merciful. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, praise God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, praise God forevermore. That's just what we're talking about. Okay. Anybody else got any comments on confessing your sins and being humble? Humble yourself to show people that you do really want forgiveness with them. Over on page 16 at the top, he wants vessels to confess their sins. He wants other vessels to speak the word, and he'll bring it to pass. James 4:2, ye have not because you ask not. Psalms 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise be to God. Amen. Anybody else got something they'd like to say about what we just talked about? Down at the bottom down there, it says, I'm not saying that chastening doesn't come sometimes so that you can exercise your faith, because God hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. But he sends chastening for reasons of unrepentance too. We might be justifying something in our life, saying, well, that doesn't really mean that, and so on and so forth. Well, I've done that myself. I've had many people tell me that they didn't have any unforgiveness simply because they've been so used to their thinking that they didn't recognize it for what it was. We must forgive, or else we will be delivered over to the tormentors or to the demons. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter and said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then Jesus tells the parable of the king who forgave his servant a great debt, but that servant then would not forgive his fellow servant a much smaller debt. Well, I think we went over that. And he said, and the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Praise be to God. Now he's talking about that sister that had all that trouble with the unforgiveness that she had. He said, by the way, over on 18, by the way, there's always a blessing in doing it God's way, walking in love. 1 John 4:16. And we know and have believed the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. We have to be so forgiving to the world and to God's children because people are overtaken by the devil and they are victims of the devil. And it's more appropriate and better for us to see them that way than to become angry and judgmental, because many times we have done the same thing and we wanted mercy too. So we should pray for God's mercy for them. Consequently, there's always a curse in walking out of the love of God. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. And he that fears is not made perfect in love. You know, if you have fear, there's something wrong. There's some offense to your conscience. There is some lack of love. Amen. If you've got fear of anything, that's not the love of God, and that's going to steal your faith. God knew she had an ability to be unforgiving toward them, so he tested her. He permitted them to be used of him. A man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. That's, you know, a lot of the church world don't even believe that. They don't believe God's sovereign, that he has control over our life. Every circumstance that comes up in front of us is for one thing, that's to mature us in Christ. A man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. That's a very important scripture right there. Over on page 19, all those different forms of unforgiveness, bitterness, wrath, railing, and such like will keep us from having the forgiveness of God and cause us to live under the curse. Amen. He goes on to say, you know, many times we like to justify unforgiveness and call it something else. But the Bible helps us to understand what it really is and why God hates it so much and why it brings a curse on us. Amen. Then he goes on to share about Malcolm down in New Zealand, Greg's next door neighbor down there. And he was talking about Malcolm was having trouble with family members coming over and having unruly kids, you know. He was having trouble with that. And David talks about on page 22 at the top. Now, just what did Jesus know that helped him to be so forgiving? What was it that Jesus understood? Luke 23 and 33. And when they came unto the place which is called the skull, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He understood that they didn't know what they were doing. He understood that they were in bondage and needed to be free. He made such a good mediator because he himself had been tempted and understood what it was all about. Hebrews 2 and 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And if a person receives grace, that's great. But it still comes from God. And the fact that some people haven't received that grace made Jesus more merciful toward them because he understood they weren't granted it. David says, we know that Jesus understood something else here too. He also understood that a man can never receive anything unless it comes from heaven, John 3:27. And in Acts 4 and 27, for of a truth in this city against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel foreordained to come to pass. So we see here very plainly that it was the Father who crucified Jesus. It says here he used Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel to do this. But it was to do whatsoever his hand and his counsel foreordained to come to pass. It was the Father who sacrificed his Son in order that we might be delivered of the curses that we live with every day. And if Jesus understood that these men were simply vessels of dishonor who were being used by Satan, who was being used by God to crucify Jesus, then he understood that any rebellion against this was rebellion against God himself. And that's something we don't often understand, that we're here to take up our cross, Jesus said. Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:27. We're here also to take up a cross to the death of self, not necessarily the death of our body, but the death of self. And God uses the vessels of dishonor around us to bring us to that place for our own good. There's no freedom in the kingdom of heaven like there is once self has been put to death. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got anything they'd like to comment on? Yeah, Joe.
I was reading this part yesterday there, the last page you did about where the Lord, where Jesus knew, you know, he was, he had, you know, such compassion and mercy on those vessels of dishonor. And this just came to mind as you were reading that. I mean, yesterday I was sitting there thinking, what he did? You know, I mean, it didn't really click with me. But then, you know, I think the Holy Spirit just put this thought on my mind. I remember, I think it was 2012 or 13. I remember one night just sitting reading my Bible in my bed before, you know, before I went to bed. And this was one of the few times where I remember, like, you know, the Lord just kind of would, like, throw something in my mind that I had, like, no idea about. I forget the verse in the Gospels, which one it was, but it was a time where Jesus was, you know, talking to the Pharisees, and he was correcting them. You know, and I remember just reading this. He's sitting there talking to them. And, like, you know, the Lord kind of brought that understanding to me. He said, see, you know, in this verse here, you know, he had such compassion on them. Because I guess before I would always think, well, he's just like speaking out of disgust, you know, and hatred. Like, here's these rotten leaders, you know, who should know better, you know, and they're here leading the people astray and, you know, all that. But no, it just, I mean, I sat there and I thought, okay, really? He had compassion on these men who were very wicked, evil people? And, but yeah, you know, and it kind of goes back to what it said there. It said Jesus knew, you know, they were vessels of dishonor, and he pleaded for mercy for them. I forget if the, you know, it was on that page or it was a little further down here. But I found that interesting. I mean, that just popped in my mind. I remember, you know, the Lord just kind of brought that and said, this is where, or the Holy Spirit was telling me here, you know, see, this where Jesus had compassion on them, you know, and it's, yeah, I mean, I wanted to share that. I thought that was interesting because I thought, oh, yeah, I remember just sitting there reading and all of a sudden this thought pops in my mind. You know, he had such compassion even on the ones who hated him. And he knew they were vessels of dishonor and not going to be, you know, redeemed. So.
Amen. Amen. And he was the example for us. So we have to do the same thing. Praise God. And I like what David says on down, just a couple of sentences. He says, Satan is the vessel of dishonor who rules over all the vessels of dishonor. But in the book of Job, we can see plainly that Satan didn't have a sovereign will. He couldn't do just anything he wanted to do. God Almighty in Job was the only one who had a perfect sovereign will. Sometimes a lot of the Christian world think that Jesus and Satan is up there butting heads all the time. You know, they're having they're fighting over who's going to get who. Ain't no fight. That's not a fight. If you're a child of God and you know your authority, you win. There's no doubt about it. You win. And that's what we have to remember. Satan. We have dominion over Satan, man. God. Listen to this. Can I read this to y'all? I got so fired up last night listening to this. I had to write it out. Y'all mind if I read this? I think it'll fire you up. If I could read it like this man read it, and I don't think I can, but I'm going to just try. I titled it Battle Ready Prayer. God is as close as your next prayer. Prayer is the weapon that God has given his children to wage war in the heavenlies. Church of Jesus Christ, stop whining about the attacks on your life by the prince of darkness and put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6 and attack. Then attack again, then attack again, then attack again, then attack again, and crush him and drive him out of your life because Satan is a defeated foe. Christ has given you the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You're a child of God, and the royal blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. You are destined to be more than a conqueror through Christ. Think like it, talk like it, act like it every day of your life. Give him glory and praise in this house. Let me tell you something. When you walk through the doors of your house, lift up your hands to pray. I want you to remember that you're talking to the Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains on a scale and the hills in a balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big that God slides out of his chair, sits on the edge, and says to the angel, did you hear what he said? Ask him for things that are impossible, because with God, nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven, just like he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fiery furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you'd walk through the fire and the fire is not going to burn you. You'll walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He is the God who cannot fail, and he's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Pray, pray, pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen and amen. Woo, glory to God. I heard that last night, man. I was jumping up and hollering. Man, Now, is that a prayer or what? That's what God wants out of us. He wants us to have that kind of authority against the devil. Glory be to God. Well, I see some of you not even hardly moving. And what's the matter with y'all? Y'all dead? Come on now. Praise the Lord. I did. I got fired up last night. And I transcribed it. I said, I'm going to share that. And I picked a good time to do it. Okay. What do y'all say about that? Glory to God. I see them girls over there. Judas is, they all... Hey, y'all. Well, go ahead.
Fired me up. It just fired me up. Because sometimes when I get down and out and I listen to those thoughts in my head and I'm thinking, oh, I'm so, feel so bad, da 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 da. But then all of a sudden I go, wait a minute here. Devil, you get out of here. I start getting up and fighting the devil. Say, Lord, this is not me. That's the devil telling me he's a liar. I start yelling at the devil. Where'd you get that from?
Yeah, you should make a copy.
Off the top of my desk? What are you talking about? I got it right there.
You going to make a copy for all of us?
I don't know. We may have to. I tell you what, it's time for an offering. We need... I'll send it to everybody in email. How's that?
Good.
Yeah, everybody get it. And then next time we get on, I want everybody to be fired up and pumped up and all that good stuff. Because you know who you are in Christ, right?
Yeah.
Know who you are. Praise the Lord forevermore. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Barry, go ahead, brother.
My sweet wife here is wondering where you found that thing you were reading us.
I wish I could tell you. Do you know of that YouTube channel called The Lion of Judah?
Yeah.
It came out of there. One of those.
Somewhere.
It was, yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah, Missy. Maybe she remembers.
No, I don't know where it's at, but some scripture came to me that what you read there made me think of this scripture. Can I read it?
Well, sure.
It's Isaiah 43. Actually, starting in verse 1. But now thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom, Ethiopian Seba as the stead, in thy stead. Since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men in thy stead, and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made.
Amen. That's basically the same thing. Barry, if I remember, it's from that, they do a compilation of preachers a lot of times, and that particular one had Juanita Bynum and the preacher from San Antonio. You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't care a whole lot for his teachings, but he's a preacher. He's not a teacher. He's an evangelist, but he's got off into some air. But he gets me fired up sometimes. The name, if I'm trying to recollect, the name of the piece was something like battle ready prayer, being ready for prayer, or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Everybody ready to go out there and pray? When I got through with that last night, boy, I tell you what, the devil didn't have a chance at all. Because, man, I was firing out bullets. I was throwing, I was just like a submachine gun. Just like that around. You know, I had that devil on the run last night. Now, glory to God, it was cool. Sometimes we need to get fired up in our prayer time to understand who we are in Christ. We have dominion. That dominion is a good thing. When you go out in the morning, just like David's told us many times, look in that mirror. It is at Corinthians 3:18. And see Jesus. Bless God, I'm walking right in the same steps as Jesus. I have that authority. I'm going to defeat the devil all day long. Everywhere I go, I'm going to be a light. Peace is going to flow out of me like water, like living water. You'll be an overcomer. You have to do those things. Yeah. Joe said that he remembers that encouraged or inspired like it. Yeah, that is a good inspiring channel that they use different preachers to do that with. But that's the thing, is just remembering who we are. Right, Dave Nelson?
Sorry, I had a long day today, so I'm just tired.
I see. Yeah, okay, buddy. Lord, give that man some supernatural energy in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I had to be at work at 3 this morning, so it's kind of early.
Oh, my. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for giving my brother a lot of energy. Let him sleep a good full sleep tonight. Get up in the morning ready to go again. In the name of Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Is there anything in the book that you see that you want, that you saw that caught your eye? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I was going to get into that section we just talked about there, about the how Jesus felt about like the vessels of dishonor. That really spoke to me. I mean, I ran over it last night and that really spoke to me at the time. I thought, wow, yeah, I haven't always been that way to people, you know, and I think it's, you know, at times I would hear others like Christians or even non-Christians, you know, I found this kind of, I think more non-Christians in my experience than Christians, you know, would, you know, say, well, that per, you know, they'd say something like, you know, like, let's say someone was getting on my nerves, you know, they would, like, you know, I'd get frustrated about something and I would voice that frustration. And that person would say, well, you know, they must be going through a lot, or they must be, you know, they would say something of like, you know, concern or like out of compassion. And I would look at them like, what are you talking about? You know, that's, that person drives me nuts, you know, or something like that. I'm like, how come you can't see that? You know, and I think that was, I mean, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, that was like when I was going through all that unforgiveness, but I think that really spoke to me. It's like, well, Jesus, he had such compassion on this people. He could, especially when he's on the cross, you know, and they're, you know, all those people were, you know, what they were doing to him, and he could just with such compassion tell, you know, cry out for them, you know, for their mercy for them, that, you know, and ask, like, you know, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And that, you know, that really just, I mean, touched me at the time. You know, I thought, wow, I've, you know, I still struggle with that, you know, at times, just to just be able to look at the lost, you know, not totally judge the lost, you know, or just even Christians or really, you know, anybody, you know, just being able to, I hear others here, you know, from time to time, you know, and just, you know, talk about, I mean, showing compassion to others, you know, and, you know, sharing it. And, you know, it just, I mean, I feel convicted, like, my man, you know, I just, you know, kind of brings it back to the way I treated a coworker that day, or the way I might have got upset and short with somebody who came against me, you know. And so, but yeah, that was kind of convicting to me. I was like, man, yeah, I haven't exactly exemplified that, shown that compassion on people, especially the loss in this case, you know, the vessels of dishonor, you know, that Jesus, as we spoke, you know, he cried out for mercy for them, you know, that the Lord would, that, you know, Father God would have mercy on them, you know. And I thought, wow, I have kind of from time to time experienced things like that, you know, when that like intercessor anointing comes on me. But just, I guess, every day, you know, yeah, haven't really experienced that much. So, I mean, I felt convicted about it. So, yeah.
Amen. All right, I'm going to read a little more here over on page 23. That first starting paragraph, that's something we don't often understand, that we're here to take up our cross. Jesus said, Luke 14:27, whosoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We're here also to take up a cross to the death of self. Not necessarily the death of our body, but the death of self. And God uses the vessels of dishonor around us to bring us to that place for our own good. There's no freedom in the kingdom of heaven like there is once self has been put to death. And people around us are quite willing to help nail us to the cross. And Jesus understood that. He understood there was a force behind what was going on. But that force wasn't Satan, who isn't even mentioned here. Satan is the vessel of dishonor who rules over all the vessels of dishonor. But in the book of Job, we can plainly see that Satan didn't have a sovereign will. He couldn't do just anything he wanted to do. God Almighty in Job was the only one who had a perfect sovereign will. I think I read that, didn't I? But it bears witness to do it again, to understand that God's the only one that has a sovereign will. He is a sovereign God. He does everything to mature his saints. And if we can just get that little bit of information in our spirit, that everything happens around us for a reason, and that's to bring us to maturity. Every circumstance that happens to you is because God loves you, and he wants you to react like Jesus did. Sometimes it's a test of your faith. Sometimes it's to get rid of some stuff out of you. But in both cases, in any case, it's all to mature us, because he loves us so much. He wants us to be on the top of the mountain all the way. Praise God forevermore. Well, Lord, we just thank you so much. Let's see. Somebody remember now where we stopped on page 23. We'll be on 24 next Tuesday. Y'all read these pages and get in them, and I know it helps to go over them again and again and again. And we'll do that. Shit, I don't mind doing it, because it brings out a lot of stuff that we might have missed, you know. Lord, help us. Lead us and guide us. Show us how we're to walk this crucified walk that you want us to walk. Show us how to go out the door in the mornings, walking like your son did, in his footsteps. And Lord, we know that the only way we can do that is to study and to put that word in us, so that we can have the dominion and the authority that you have given us over the enemy. And when those trials and tribulations come before us, we just sit back and rest, because we know you're taking care of it. Thank you, Father, for putting rest in our hearts. That's one of the great things about this walk of death to self, is that we do have rest. we don't have to worry about what somebody said or somebody did to us. It's not our problem. Our problem is to forgive them. And Lord, we thank you for these teachings that show us that. That we're to do it before the sun goes down, you told us. You said, you have all against your brother and sister. Go and make it right with him before the sun goes down, he said. And then he'll be back on the road to righteousness and sanctification. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint everyone here with this death to self and to get in our hearts this forgiveness thing that you, this forgiveness teaching that you're teaching us, Lord. I know that most of us have already gone through this book once, some twice, some three times, some four times, but every time we go through these books, we always get something else out of them. I don't know how many times I've read it, but I get something out of it every time I read it. And Father, I thank you for doing that for each one of us. You know, Lord, I love the way that you put these books together through David. You put a lot of scriptures in there, but you put them in order that we can understand the subject that you're trying to get across to us, Lord. And you put it in a way that even our old boy from Arkansas can understand. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here, that this teaching is going right straight to the heart, and they're coming up in the kingdom to be in this bride, to stay in this bride, and to be a help, to help disciple the people that are going to come in here later on. And I thank you for it, Father. Ooh, you're such an awesome God. And I thank you, Lord, that you're growing us up to where we don't have to depend on somebody else to pray for us. That we have the same authority and the same dominion as everybody else does. There's no difference. And we can take that authority and come against the enemy ourselves. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that I do have the authority over all the power of the enemy. And I can come against him with the sword of the Spirit and whack my way through him, Lord. And I thank you for giving us that great and mighty sword called the Bible. And Father, I praise you for all the work that you're doing in every one of us. I love my brothers and sisters, Lord. And I ask that you gather each one of them up in their arms when they go to bed tonight and give them a good dream about being with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And not only that, thank you for protecting our president and his family. Thank you, Lord, for the change in Australia, that people are turning back to you, Lord, and interceding for their country. I thank you, Lord, for changing the regime over there in South Africa, that you would change it to one that's beneficial to everybody, not just one certain group. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for righting all the wrongs across these worlds. And Father, one other thing, I want to thank you. I know that you've told us that you're going to go through your church first and clean it up. And I believe you've told us that you're going to do it with pestilence and the shaking. And I believe we're fixing to see some of that. And I ask that you put a Psalm 91 covering on all of your elect, Lord. And I praise you for doing that. I know a lot of people are going to die, but it's going to run a lot of people out of those apostate religions and bring them into the truth of the gospel. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right, folks. Good night. Let me unmute everybody. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
All right. All right.